It's certainly been good to be in the Lord's house, feel His presence. See, some's already come to the altar. The Lord knows what we need. He knows the needs of every person in this house. And it's our desire that you would let the Lord meet that need today before you leave. I've never understood this part, why somebody to get up and come to church, make the effort to come all the way this way, and the Holy Spirit reach out and touch their heart and invite them to come to an altar, and they wouldn't finish that journey and come another 2 feet or 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 and get what you come looking for all the way from wherever you've been coming from today. Think about that for a moment. Some of you's 2 steps away from eternal life. 15 steps or 20 steps away from getting what you're really looking for to meet your needs in your life. I want to read a verse of Scripture this morning in the book of Psalms, chapter 29. Book of Psalms, chapter 69. I think I might have said 29. Book of Psalms, chapter 69. Feel like I'll hold you real long this morning. I just got 2 verses of Scripture I'd like to read and just try to mind that of the Lord and do what He wants us to do this morning. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible said, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." You may be seated this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house one more time. God, we thank you for every person, Lord, that's come this way this morning. I'll never, Lord, get to the point where we'll know who's been saved and who hasn't been saved. The Bible lets us know clearly, Lord, that we'll know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. But Lord, there's more than love to this, and there's evidence of seeing their life and the things that they do and the places we go and the way that we talk. And God, only you know, and that person knows down deep inside whether they've ever been born again. God, I pray today if there's one under the sound of our voice has never trusted you as their personal Savior, I pray this would be that good hour, Lord, where the Holy Spirit would give them an invitation to come. God, would keep our remarks as short as you'd have us to, Lord, and their hearts would be pricked like Paul's was, Lord. Saul's on the road to Damascus, Lord, where you got his attention. And Lord, he fell to the ground, and Lord, he was took to the city. And Lord, the scales fell from his eyes, and his eyes was opened. And he realized, Lord, that he'd been doing wrong his whole life. And Lord, he finally had met Jesus. Lord, what a good day for somebody to meet Jesus. I pray, God, Lord, you touch their heart. Help us, Lord, to say what we need to say. And Lord, to do nothing, Lord, that would hinder this meeting. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, we'll do our best to keep ourselves out of it. Lord, and if anything is accomplished, Lord, we'll do our best to thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you've already done. And Lord, allow us to be in this place and witness, Lord, what you've done. For us in Jesus' holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. The book of Psalms is a song book. It was different writings by different men, mostly David, wrote these writings, and he'd give them to different people. Some of you might remember years back, I'll never forget. Seemed like we read things and you don't learn everything that you'd like to learn. The next time you read it, you'd learn something else. And I was preaching on Asaph, the chief musician there, and I said that Nick was our chief, amen. Some of you might remember that. Well, the book of Psalms, chapter 69, the Bible said in a Psalm of David, the chief musician upon Shoshanim. It's the place where he is at. And it was a song that was wrote, things that he looked back on in his life. And no doubt every one of us could write a song about something we had experienced. I believe that with all my heart, that every one of us has a song down in our heart. But the Bible said here in verse 1, David said, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I thought about this verse of Scripture this morning as David begins to cry out for help, and my mind went back to the writings where Peter had stepped out of the boat and began to walk towards the Lord, and the Bible said Peter began to sink in the water when he took his eyes off the Lord, and he said, Lord, save me. And I would like to say this morning that this is a good prayer to get saved. Save me, oh God. Really, nothing else has to be said to be born again except to have a desire to be saved and to ask God to save you. I thought about this saying here that David said, save me, oh God. It does us no good to holler, save me, unless we're crying out to the right person. But Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen. He can save you this morning if you'll call out on His name. And the Bible said there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. We're not going to get saved under any other name but Jesus. And friend, I want you to know that everybody that's been saved was saved by one man. David remembered back, he said, as he began to write this song, he said, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. How many of you remembers back before you got saved? It seemed like you was in a safety zone there for a little while. Every one of us was under the age of accountability, or we hadn't been pricked by the Holy Spirit yet, and everything was all right. And one day, Brother EJ, my boat pulled into Bethel Baptist Church, and Brother Harold Pulliam began to preach, and the waters began to flood in. I felt like I was sinking. The boat was going down. Friend, let me tell you something. You won't get saved or ask to be saved until you feel like that your boat's going down. Amen. I ain't never heard anybody holler for somebody to save them when the boat was sailing good. Never heard of nobody throwing a life raft out when nobody's fell off the ship. Circumstances has to happen to cause us to realize that we need to be saved, so we'll cry out for salvation. Amen. One of those circumstances is preaching. Preaching causes people to realize that they need to be saved. Water's coming in your boat. It's not going to last much longer. Your ships are going down. The Holy Spirit has pricked your heart to let you know you're in trouble. And the only thing that will save you is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And you're going to have to call out on Him. Boy, I tell you, this morning, I'm glad I asked Him to save me. There's a few of us. I said, I'm glad I asked Him to save me. That's all David said in this verse, save me. Amen. I want to say something right there to help us this morning. There's no doubt that every daddy in here or mama wants to see their children saved. Y'all with me? Your pastor wants to see everybody saved. I believe the deacons want to see everybody saved. I believe the members of this church wants to see people saved. But before you can pray that somebody else gets saved, you better make sure you're saved. David said, save me. And the first prayer I ever prayed was, Lord, save me. Amen. And you know what he did? And the tailor sang a song. He said he'd save me. And he did.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll never forget that song.
And he wrote, he said he saved me, and he did. Free what enslaved me, and he did. He said he'd give me peace of mind, fill my heart with joy divine, leave my crooked past behind, and he did. Amen. How many of us glad that you've been saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, on your way to heaven, and Jesus saved you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, be good if we live like we're saved. We got on a little bit in Sunday school. Everybody's saved, ain't living like they're saved. There's a lot of people in the world. They want to be saved, but they want to dress like the world. They want to go to church, but they want to do the things of the world. I want to tell you what the scripture said. It said that you would be at enmity with God if you was a friend of the world. Brother Jeff, you just lost me right there. Let me get it down to a level we can all understand. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's hard to understand, how we can become an enemy of God. But the good thing about it today is that God loves his enemies. He died for his enemies, and God saves his enemies. Amen. I've never heard many stories, Brother Mallory, when somebody had a chance to take out their enemy where they didn't kill them. I remember when Joab was walking through the field and going through the forest. King David had told them to spare his son. Amen. Said, spare up my son. He had rebelled. Oh, Absalom. And Joab had come up on him, Brother D.B. All that pretty hair he had done got tangled up in a tree. And the Bible said the mule kept on walking, walked out from under him, left him there hanging, Absalom, for the taking. And instead of Joab having mercy, Joab took five guards and shoved them up in his heart and killed Absalom. And because he could, he did take his life. Amen. Joab seen Absalom as an enemy. David seen Absalom as his son. Boy, this is fixing to get rich. God sees your pastor and sees you as his enemy. But when his son come in my life, now all he sees is his son. I'm not his enemy no more. If you've been saved, your sins have been washed away. Praise the Lord. You're a child of the King. You're on your way to heaven because you're saved. Amen. Brother Jeff, I don't understand all this saved talk. Born again. Well, I don't understand that neither. Neither did Nicodemus. He said, Lord, should I enter my mother's womb a second time? He was a teacher of the law, Brother Mallory. And he really showed his ignorance on salvation there when he's talking to Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something that I believe. Nobody has ever been saved. If you ain't been saved yet, you are ignorant to his salvation. Amen. I really didn't realize how good it was. I got it. I didn't really realize how clean it made me until it got in there. Amen. It changed the music I listen to. It changed the way I talk. It changed the places I go. It changed the people I run with. That old Jeff, he died. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. All old things passed away, and behold, all things came new. Amen. How many of you started a new journey when you got saved? I don't walk that same wide crowd with that filthy bunch no more. I change roads. This road I'm on is not too crowded, but it's just enough room I can walk on it. It's a narrow path, Brother Stacy. Amen. I wouldn't even really consider this narrow. Maybe this would be narrow. Let me try to get through here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is narrow, Brother Blake. We're in here close, ain't we? Amen. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to let you know something. You'll know if you're on the narrow path. Amen. You'll be close to others. There's not room to be separated from other people unless you're on the Broadway. Amen. Maybe I'm enjoying this better than you are. I don't have to look for some of you. I can reach out and just get a hold of you. We're on the same road. There ain't no distance between us. Whew. Brother Nick, you can be in Dallas, and I can be down here in Austell now. And I feel like I could reach out and hug you. Amen. We ain't got to be in this building to love one another. Boy, that was a weak amen. I know this is a loving church, but we don't have to be in this building how to love one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, it's not confined by walls. David said, the waters are come in into my soul. How many of you are glad the waters came in one day? Got your attention. Hey. You might be here today and say, Brother Jeff, you just don't understand. Feels like everything's coming in on me. That's some good news. Amen. Because if you feel it pressing in and coming in on you, you're a couple words from being saved by hollering out, save me, save me, save me. I need to be saved. Save me, Jesus. Amen. Now, a lot of people might say, that's too simple. I believe you need to confess every sin that you've ever committed. Let me just tell you something, you can't keep up with all of them. And you ain't got to confess all of them because God already knows every one of them you've done. Amen. And if God could forget, the Bible does say he'll take our sins and cast them in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. So I believe God has the ability to forget sins. Praise the Lord. I believe when he saved me, Brother Darrell, I never seen this morning. He started going down through there, and I said, save me, Lord. He said, I will. He went down there and started wiping out everything I did. Every little thing. Taking it out of the book. Amen. Not to ever be brought up anymore. Man has tried to bring it up. That don't bother me none. Because man's not going to judge me. But the judge has forgiven me. Praise the Lord. It's better than a governor's pardon. It's better than a friend's forgiveness. It's better than getting accepted by mom and daddy. You won't ever experience anything like salvation. When you get it, there's nothing like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, I really had a good time the day I got married. But I've enjoyed more since I left the church than I did the wedding. Whew. The honeymoon was grand. The snow was beautiful. Two kids has been wonderful. The journey's been great. The journey's been tough. The journey's been rough. Amen. If I could think of another word, rhyme, I'd throw that in there. The journey's been everything, good and bad. That's why the preacher said better or worse. Been some sickness. Been some days we felt good. Praise the Lord. Thank God for good feeling days. Whew. I didn't feel good the other night. I had another gallbladder attack. It's still with me this morning a little bit. But I tell you what, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Sometimes I'd like to preach all the time, 24/7. I don't know that I've ever felt bad when I really get over the Holy Spirit and get to preaching. But I don't think my body could take preaching 24 hours a day. Amen. But I'm glad I got saved. Amen. Saved to the uttermost, from the bottom of the feet all the way up inside me. I'm saved. Amen. I know salvation, it comes in and gets in your heart. And I know this flesh is going to be left here. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about I'm going to have a glorified body, not a glorified heart. I believe I am going to shed this robe of flesh off, but I believe I've got a whole body on the inside that's been born again. And I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like Jesus. Said I'd be likened unto Jesus. Let's get this second verse with the Lord's help. He said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. How many of you ever really got in mud? I've made mud pies. I've eaten mud pies. I remember that as a little boy eating mud pies. None of them was ever any good. But I eat them. I made them. I remember digging highways and making trucks, little trenches for my trucks and my and my bulldozers. I remember when Ryan come along, going out there and digging some bigger trenches for the bigger bulldozers that they come out with. They didn't have Tonka bulldozers when I was a little boy. You was lucky if you had one little bitty metal matchbox car, Brother Brandon. But now he'll talk to you as I'm dumping my load, you know. And it's a lot of fun. When kids come along, it's a lot of fun. Y'all look at him like he ain't never did that before. You need to try that with your kids or your grandchildren. It's a lot of fun. I think some of us just forgot how to have a good time. Just because you say don't mean you can't have fun. Amen. Praise the Lord. I had a lot of fun playing trucks and cars with my son when he was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 until he got old enough, did I don't want to play trucks. I don't go in and play the game, you know. Now, our day, that's all it is. They want to go in the house and get on the game. We played trucks. And I thought I had gotten in the mud till I started working this construction. But I've been in some mud. And the other day I stepped off. It looked solid. I walked on it solid. Frozen ground. And the next thing I knew, I just heard it go like that. And I went all the way down to about my knee. And I went to go pull out, and I could feel my shoe going like it's trying to pull my shoe off, my boot off. Brother Tony, I mean, I got in some mud. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought about when I got to reading this verse. I didn't think about that the other day. When I got to reading this verse, I thought, boy, I know what it's like to be sinking in the mire. Amen. Some of us really don't know. Naturally, some of us don't know. But spiritually, some of you are sinking in the mud. But you're in good company. If you look around, you'd see the prodigal sons over there in the mud too. Can I get an amen right there? And I don't really know what kind of house you come from, but I know he come from a good home. So everybody that's in the mud don't come from bad homes. Just throw that out there for you. There's people in the mud today that come from good homes. There's pastors' kids that's in the mud today. Amen. There's people that's been saved that's in the mud today. But thank God, thank you, Lord, that Jesus can pull people out of the mud. Amen. I know this ain't this verse, but I keep thinking about what David said. He's pulled me up out of the miry pit. He set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my goings. Praise the Lord. You know what established means? He set some things up. I can almost hear him pull him up out of the mud, set me on the rock. Praise the Lord. And then he said, that's the direction I want you to go in, right, Johnny? It's already established. You got a way made. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I'm married. I'm glad I'm a daddy. I'm glad I'm pastoring. But I'm more glad I'm saved than anything that's ever happened to me in my life. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Is there anybody in here that wish you hadn't got saved? Stand up and tell us about it. That ain't never happened. Out of all the times I've been doing that, for 20-something years I've been asking that. Ain't nobody ever stood up and had nothing to say. Now, this one that gets a lot of us, how many of you wish you'd have got saved sooner? Raise your hand. How many of you wish you'd have walked the aisle a little bit earlier? Amen. How many of you wish you'd have prayed a little bit sooner? It'd have kept a lot of us out of trouble if we'd have prayed earlier in our life. Amen. David said, I sank in deep mire. This ain't just some mire, this was deep mire. It's the kind of mire I was in the other day, sinking in it. I'm going to tell you something, a spiritual mire is worse than just regular mud. Anybody can get out of mud. You hear me? But if you're in spiritual mire this morning, the only thing that's going to help you is Jesus. You're not going to climb up out of there on your own. You're not going to turn over good leaf. One of the guys on my job the other day, he said, I'm not going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm turning over a new leaf. He thought because he worded it different, he was going to change him. He said, I'm not drinking no more, and I'm not going to smoke anymore. And then we went to lunch, and I said, you smoke one this morning because I smell it in the truck. His head dropped. Well, I ain't smoking that other stuff. I said, that ain't what you said. I said, Dave, what you need to do, you need to get saved. Amen. You need to get saved. That's what he needs to do. He won't want to smoke and drink no more. Amen. Now you might say, you think if you get saved, you'll quit smoking? I'm talking about drugs. Amen. But I think you'll have a desire to quit smoking regularly. I think you'll want to quit. Some people can't quit. Some people can. And the scripture tells us about them. People said some stronger than others. That's what he says. Let those which are stronger help the weaker. Everybody's not strong. Everybody's not strong. I've seen people praise the Lord and thank God for being with them when the loved ones just went on to be with the Lord. I've seen other people give up in life, just throw their hands up, quit work, won't go to work, don't even want to come home, can't function. Still saved, they just wasn't strong. They wasn't where they needed to be to lean on the Lord. And I'll tell you something, some of us that think we're strong, we're not as strong as we think we are. And some of us is weak, thinks that we're real, real weak, you're stronger than you think you are. I promise you I'm about done. He said, I stand in deep mire where there is no standing. One good thing about the mud and mire, if you get in some deep enough, it'll bring you to your knees. You can't stand up when you get in deep mud. Even the other day when I wasn't even thinking about Brother Brandon, I stepped off and I went all the way down. I sunk all the way down to my knees. Well, I wasn't standing in it then. I was stuck in it. You know, it'd be good for some of us to get back on our knees. It's quiet in here. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got to be coming to the altar to get saved to get on your knees. Sometimes we need to come say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thought about this as he wrote this song. And I got all excited thinking about this. David's got his harp out one day. He's going, oh, 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 oh. Chief musician looked over and said, Dave, what's on your mind? They said, play me that song about when the Lord pulled me out of the mire and saved me that I wrote. Play me that song. Sing that song for me. It'd be good for some of us to pull out them old songs about things that God's done for us there once in a while. Listen to this. I read this last part and I'll be done. He said, I am coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. He said, not only am I sinking in the mire, but water's starting to come in on me. And it's overflowing me. And I don't know how many of you, I guarantee you, two things I thought about in these verses, why they come get a verse of songs. One, we're going to have to know that we're in trouble before we feel like we need to be saved. Secondly, you're going to have to get scared before you want to be saved. You're going to have to get scared of dying and going to hell. I believe that with all my heart. Now, that's a weak amen. I said you'd have to be scared to go to hell before you're going to really get saved. Amen. How many of you have ever been in water and it started coming in wherever you was at, a room or whatever, a pool? I remember I was down at Whitewater one time. They turned them waves on. I was a teenager then. I didn't think it would really be that bad, Brother Matt. I thought I could swim pretty good. them things started coming in. The side of the walls was sucking the water, blowing out them little things, you know. I got over there near the water, and every time I thought I was about to get away, it'd go like that. And I'm telling you, true fear come over me. I got scared. I thought I was fixing to die. And you know, this happens a lot. People will be on planes, and all of a sudden, things start going like that, and I go, oh, Lord. It's amazing how they think real quickly about the Lord. Yeah. Save us, God. Jonah got in trouble on the boat. They started trying to figure out who was causing trouble and said, we want everybody to call out on their God. And I'm going to tell you something. You might not have ever been there, but I've been there where things really got. I really thought I was going to die. I was in the hospital one time in ICU. And I'm not afraid to die. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll make you pray and check up. It'll make you make sure you're saved. I remember one time a man used to sing in a gospel group. Called me about 3:30 in the morning. He said, Brother Jeff, I hate to call you so late. He said, do you think you can come up here to the hospital? And I said, sure. He said, I don't want nobody to know. That's why I waited this time to call you. So he didn't want nobody to be at the hospital. Now it's fine to share it. He didn't tell me not to ever share it. But I went up there at 3:30 in the morning, and he said, I got a serious question I want to ask you. And I promise you, I won't be hurt at you. And it won't cause no problems between our friendship. It won't change what I think about you, but I need you to be honest. And I said, I'll do the best I can. He said, have you ever felt the... He said, you know how the Bible talks about the Spirit bearing witness from one another? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you ever felt the Spirit from me? I said, yes, sir, I have. Lord, yeah, many a time. And he said, well, I know it ain't going to be long till I make that crossing. He said, to be honest with you, I don't want everybody to know this. He said, but I just want to make sure I'm saved. I'm a little bit afraid that if I thought I saved and missed it and wasn't saved, made that crossing. And you know, I told him, I said, John was in that same company. John sent a couple of his disciples out and said, go find Jesus. And y'all ask him, is he the one we've been looking for? Or is there another? You know what he was thinking, Brother Randy? He was fixing to have his head took off. He just wanted to make sure he had met the right one. And his disciples come back. John, we got some good news. So I'll give you goosebumps like I'm talking to you, ain't I? He said to tell you that the blind are seeing. The lame are walking. The lepers are being cleaned. The deaf are hearing. The dead's getting up out of the ground. And the poor are having the gospel preached to them. And I almost hear John bring the axe on. That's him. He's the one. He's the one. How many of us have been saved by that man called Jesus? Amen. If you're here today and you ain't been saved, what you need to do is realize you're in trouble. You're sinking. Water's about to overcome you, overflow in your life. God's giving you another opportunity today to call out on Him. He ain't asking Brother D.B. on some fancy prayer that we learned. He ain't want to hear no bedtime prayer. He don't want to hear no prayer over our food. He wants to hear you ask Him to save you. That's what He wants. Lord, save me. Save me, oh God. Don't worry about nobody else right now. You better worry about yourself. That's not selfishness. Salvation's personal. You better make sure you're saved. I want us to rise to our feet. If you're not saved, I'm begging you to come. Talk to the Lord. If you're saved, be a good time to thank Him. Pray for somebody else. Pray for things going on in your life. Maybe you've been saved and you feel like you're still sinking in mire and the mud and the waters is about to overcome in your life. I tell you, the Lord can help you with that. He can help you with that. Come on, Brother Nick. Sing whatever verse the song's on your heart.